Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Psalms 111. Psalms 111. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Certainly God has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. It's good for us to be alive. Good for us to be in the land of the dying, on our way to the land of the living. Certainly we thank God for Reverend Woods presiding for this service as well as the morning service. Thank God for our junior deacons and our young people who have sang so melodiously. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on. Bless God for our young people. And I certainly thank God for all of you. It's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. No other place I'd rather be than in the house of the Lord, singing his praises. Psalms 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of the Lord, or the works of his hand, are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto the people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Look at someone, if you will, and say, wholehearted praise. Look at another and say, wholehearted praise. Help me shout at the virtual audience, if you will, wholehearted praise. Amen. Wholehearted praise. Wholehearted praise. This month we are considering the theme of cultivating a thankful heart. Developing a thankful heart. As we hurriedly approach the day called Thanksgiving, I want to say to us that every day, for the blood-bought child of God, should be a day of giving thanks unto God. For last week we said God is good. And I repeated it several times to work it in our spirit because we were a little slow to respond to the declaration of God's goodness. God is good. God is good. The Lord is good. shouldn't have to be a whole lot said about God for us to praise him, because when we think of the goodness of the Lord, it should ignite a praise. Psalms 111 and Psalms 112 are a pair of psalms. Psalms 111 focuses on the works of God, while Psalms 112 focuses on those who fear the Lord. Psalms 111 is called a Hallel psalm because the first phrase of the psalm, Psalm 111, is praise the Lord. The phrase praise the Lord means hallelujah. It's been suggested that hallelujah is the highest praise. But hallelujah is simply praise ye the Lord. Psalms 111 along with the other Hallel Psalms were sang regularly during the Passover festival. It is suggested that this psalm, along with the other songs, were sang by Jesus and his disciples in the upper room as they were together to eat of the Passover meal. The psalmist enthusiastically praises the Lord. He extols and exalts the name of Jehovah. He speaks of himself when he says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. He speaks of himself. He can't speak for others, you know, wish we could, wish he could, but he doesn't speak for others. He only speaks for himself when he says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In other words, the psalmist brought nothing less than his whole heart to the assembly and congregation for the praise of God. All brothers and sisters, God doesn't want divided-hearted praise. God doesn't want half-hearted praise. If you will praise the Lord, you must praise him with all of your love, praise him with all of your zeal, praise him with all of your strength, praise him with all of your might, and praise him with all of your heart. What you waiting on? Let me say that again. If you would praise him, you must praise the Lord with all of your love, praise him with all of your zeal, praise him with all of your strength, praise him with all of your might, praise him with all of your heart. What you waiting on? The psalmist says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Psalms 86:12 says, I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. So the praise of the psalmist talks of the wholehearted praise that God desires, but the wholehearted praise that God desires should be rendered in public. Notice he will praise the Lord in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Praising God is both public and private. You know, when you think about God in your homes, you ought to praise him. When you think about God in your shower, you ought to praise him. When you think about God, when you lie down at night, you ought to praise him. When you get up in the morning, you ought to praise him. When you make it to the breakfast table, you ought to praise him. When you go into your closet, you ought to praise him. When you put your clothes on, go outside and get in your car and crank up your car, you ought to praise him. And that's praise that's private. You don't need somebody else to ignite you in praise. You ought to praise him if you got to praise him all by yourself. But praising God ought not be private only. You ought to have public praise. The psalmist says, in the assembly of the upright. The assembly of the upright is a small group of believers. It's a public Christian group, like a Sunday school class. Every now and then, the teacher ought to hit your chord. Like a brotherhood meeting or sisterhood meeting. Small group gathering. He says, you ought to praise the Lord in the assembly of the upright. Not only assembly, but also in the congregation. That's like now. He says that you should praise the Lord as you come to the greater or larger group of saints. You ought to praise the Lord. He says he's going to praise God in the assembly and in the congregation. When church comes together, you just look around and see how many people made it through last week. If you don't praise God for yourself, you ought to praise God for them. Do I have anybody in here that can give God a praise for the person sitting beside you? You don't know what they have gone through, but the mere fact that they are sitting up in here, you ought to give God a praise. Matter of fact, if that's not enough for you, if you got a pocket mirror or a purse mirror, pull it out, look at yourself and say, God, I thank you that I'm here. Listen, you ought to praise God when you come into the congregation. The psalmist advises the people of God to give God praise as a result of meditating on the works of the Lord. He gives three aspects of God's work in Psalms 111. First of all, he deals with the creative work of God. Secondly, he deals with the providential work of God. And thirdly, he deals with the redemptive work of God. Say that with me, if you will. He deals with the creative work of God. He deals with the providential work of God. And he deals with the redemptive work of God. First of all, he deals with God's work of creation. And God's work of creation is good, great, and glorious. Verses 2 and 3. God's works are great and glorious. The psalmist talks of God's work in creation. He reminds us of what God did in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. How great and glorious the Lord was in creation. Everything God created is glorious and great. Genesis chapter 1 verse 4, light was good. Genesis chapter 1 verse 10, earth and seas were good. Genesis chapter 1 verse 12, the grass, the herbs, the trees were good. Genesis chapter 1 verse 18, the sun and the moon were good. Genesis chapter 1 verse 21, the sea creatures, birds of the air were good. Genesis chapter 1 verse 25, the beasts of the field and creeping things were good. Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 says, God saw everything that he made and indeed it was very good. But God didn't stop with the birds of the air and the sea, fish of the sea and the grass and the trees. God made us. And when he made us, he said that we were made in his image and in his likeness, and we were good. It is John, the Revelator, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 3, that says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. God is good in his creative work. And listen, the creative works of the Lord are great, grand, and glorious in number, great in design, great in purpose, great in power, great in excellence, great in size. The works of the Lord are great, good, great, and gracious works deserve great praise. Listen, when we look at what God has made and what God has created and what God is sustaining, it ought to give us reasons to praise the Lord. When you think about God creating the earth round, and regardless of where you are on the earth, you're standing upright, God is great. When you think about God sustaining the trees and the grass in the seasons, God is great. When you think about God carving out with his hand rivers and streams and have made rivers and streams flow from the north to the south ever since they have been in existence, God is great. When you think about God putting a chirp in a bird and his giving him wings to fly, and God putting a worm where a bird can get something to eat, God is great. When you think about God keeping you every day in the creation, you ought to give God a praise. His creative works. His creative works. His creative works. The psalmist invites us to study the works of the Lord. Verse 3, he says, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He says, thoroughly examine God's work. Look at it from every angle. Look at it with questions and consideration. Study the works of the Lord. If you study the works of the Lord, you will see the authority of God, the activity of God, and the awesomeness of God. Let me say that again. When you go out and study the works, you will see the authority of God, the activity of God, and the awesomeness of God. And you will take pleasure in his works. You know why I can praise God at all times? Because I've studied the works. You know, it amazes me, an awesome, authoritative God putting things in place to sustain little old me. Isn't that something? When you think about how God has navigated your life, I try to tell us every Sunday that he has navigated our niches. He has led us through the valleys and over the mountains. It is God in his creation who navigates us through what he has created for us. And when you study that God puts all things together for your good, you ought to praise the Lord. Oh, he says, study it. The creative work of God. But not only do I see the psalmist's reason for praising is the creative work of God. Secondly, he points us to the providential work of God. Verses 4 through 6, he says, he has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works, that they may give, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. First of all, he deals with the providential work of God, in that God's work, his awesomeness, his authority, his activity should never be forgotten. Listen, when you think about where God has brought you from and what God has brought you through, you should never forget that. You should always remember where God brought you from. And the old church would say it this way: God has brought me from a long ways off. Oh, he has brought us from the streets. He has brought us from sin. He has brought us from the hand of Satan. He has brought us, and we should always remember where God has brought us from. Some of us don't want to remember. We choose to forget. That's why we don't praise him like we should. We have a little something now, and we don't want people to know that we come from meager beginnings. You know, we settle now. We don't want people to know that we used to run the streets. We don't club now. We don't want people to know that we used to go to the club. Don't drink now. And we don't want people to know we used to. But don't you know God saved you from those things and those places for his glory? And when people can see where God has brought you from, it reveals the authority of God, the awesomeness of God, and the activity of God, that if God did it for you, he's able to do it for them. I ought to have a praying church here. Listen, God is still God, and he says that we should remember the wonderful works of the Lord, that he is gracious and full of compassion. He didn't destroy us when we were in the world. He didn't destroy us when we were in the streets. He didn't destroy us in our sins. God is gracious and compassionate. Hallelujah. Verse 4 through 6 reveals God's, it is God who maintains creation. And in maintaining creation, he provides for his people. God is maintaining creation to provide. Verse 5, the earth provides because God has created it and graciously maintains it. God provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He provides for those who fear him. The word fear means awe and reverence. So when you study God and the works of his hands, you ought to be in awe. You know, a wow ought to go there. When you study the works of God, it ought to be wow. Ooh wee. My goodness. And my God. Do I have anybody here that responds like that? When you read the word of God and you see the awesomeness of God and the works of God, it ought to be a wow. It ought to be awe and reverence for God. He providentially cares. He provides for us. I see his covenant in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. God said, as long as the earth exists, There will be sowing and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will not cease. That's the providential care of God. God gives us something to sow. And then God will change the season during the sowing to bring about a harvest. Only God can make the sun shine like it needs to and make the rain fall like it needs to. Only God can change the seasons. It is his providential care, because God knows within his providence that we can't stand too much cold and we can't stand too much heat. We can't stand it being all summer and we can't stand it being all winter. We can't stand it being all day and we can't stand it being all night. So he gives us both winter and summer, cold and heat, day and night. You ever thought about that? God is providentially caring for us. Not only do we see his covenant in Genesis chapter 8, but we see his covenant with Abraham and his descendants in Genesis chapter 12. His covenant with Israel in Exodus 24. God's new covenant with the church through Christ in the New Testament. God, he providentially cares for us. Verse 6 says, he has declared to his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. God, he manifests his power to Israel by causing them to overcome the many strongites in the land of Canaan. You know, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Havite, and all of the ites. God gave them victory over the ites. And in giving them victory over the ites, he gave them the heritage of the heathen. He gave them vineyards that they didn't plant, and houses that they didn't build. Somebody here can be a witness. God is still a God who can give you a vineyard that you didn't plant and houses that you didn't build. Matter of fact, God is so good, he didn't have to just give you a house with a note. He can give you a house without a note and a yard to go with it that has some crop. Do I have a witness here? He's a God who providentially cares for us. I got to quit. But God, his work in providence should be praised. His work in creation should be praised. But his work in redemption should be praised. All the works of his hands are verity and judgment. All that God does is right and just, done in truth and uprightness. All God's commandments are sure, settled, firm, and unchanging. And here it is in verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. Now here it's talking about Israel in Egypt, and how God sent Moses into Egypt with a little small speech. Let my people go. That's all Moses could say. God said, let my people go. God, through Moses, led Israel out of Egypt. Led them through the Red Sea. Led them in the wilderness. And then God, by Joshua, led them through the Jordan River to conquest the land. I thank God for redemption. It was God bringing them out to bring them unto himself. And that's what God has done for us. He has brought us out to bring us unto himself. God has redeemed us. That's why we can sing, I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He came through 42 generations, landed in a lonely place called Bethlehem. He walked the dusty streets of Galilee for 33 and a half long years. He healed the sick. That wasn't redemptive work. He raised the dead. That wasn't redemptive work. He opened the eyes of the blind. That wasn't redemptive work. He fed the hungry. He walked upon raging seas. That wasn't redemptive work. But one Friday, he went to a hill called Calvary. That's redemptive work. When he marched up the Via Dolorosa and gave his hand to the nails and his feet to the spikes, his hair to the crown of thorns, his back to the cross, his spirit to his Father. Look at somebody and say, that's redemptive work. He died on that cross. You ought to help me close by looking at somebody else and tell them, now that's redemptive work. He died on that cross. But I thank God as our Redeemer that he didn't say dead. He only borrowed the grave for Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday night. But he gave the grave back. Early Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. You ought to high five somebody and say, that's redemptive work. And because he lives, I can live. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lived, life is worth the living just. Because he lives, my soul has gotten happy. I want to give God praise for what he has created. I want to give God praise for what he provides. I want to give God praise for how he has saved me. Is there anybody here glad to be saved? If you're glad to be saved, find somebody else that's glad to be saved and say, neighbor, I'm thankful he saved me. And because he saved me, he's providing for me. And because he's providing for me and he has saved me, I want to open my mouth and give him a hallelujah praise. Let me hear you say hallelujah. Glory to the name of God. Hallelujah. Glory to the deeds of God. Hallelujah. Glory to the hand of God. Let me ask you my question, and I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah, 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 yeah. He created. He provides. He saves. Cultivate a heart of praise, not just private, publicly as well. When you come into the house of God, you ought to give God praise for what he has done, what he is doing in your life. Cultivate, develop a thankful heart. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come today. Need of salvation, come. Need of restoration, come. in need of a family of faith comes. You can come by letter. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come. Come, 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 come. The doors stand ajar. Bless you today. Bless you today. Come on. Come on, praise Him.
Praise Him. Praise Him.
Praise Him. Come on, come on. Let a Christian Experience a candidate for baptism.
Praise,
come on, come on.
Jesus.
Brother Donnie Goodman, come by Christian Experience. It means that you have already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. You believe He died for you. You believe He was buried and was raised for you, for your salvation. Amen. So you want to be a member of this church. All right, we have an orientation, 4-week orientation course that we want you to be a part of. To assimilate you in, to inform you as to the ministries of the church and what this church is requiring of you as a member. We don't want you to just be a pew member. We want you to be a working member. Amen. Will you come to orientation? Amen. I want you to give your information to Sister Kirkland, and we'll contact you. We have orientation class tomorrow at 4:30. All right. If you work and you get with her, and we'll work it out. All right. Come on. Bless the Lord. Amen. Brother Goodman. Amen. Thank you, man. I want Emmanuel to come. Come on. Is that mother? Come on with him. Stand down there, buddy. Stay down there. Stand down there with mama. Amen. He was baptized this morning. He has received a Bible and certificate. I want to charge you to study the Word of God, to be a part of church regularly. I want to charge you too, Mother, to study with him and to attend with him so that we can help you grow him and nurture him in the way. I often say that church is not a substitute, it subsidizes. Amen. And so we want you to be a part of the ministry. We have a youth choir and youth department, and we want you on. Matter of fact, tomorrow is our study time, Zoom. Amen. So get on the Zoom line. They'll get that information to you so you can study that word and read that word. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. All right. Amen.
Now that's what I talk about.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. All hearts and minds clear. Where's Sister Teresa? Is she here? Come on, sister. Lead us out here. Come on, lead us out.
Church.
Lord, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, ears have heard, our hearts have received. Thank you, Lord, for being a God in the midst of us, manifesting your presence. Lord, we thank you for the psalmist, Psalms 111, reminding us of your awesomeness, your authority, your actions. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to praise you. Help us, Father, to remember what you have done for us and where you have brought us from. Father, help us. Lord, praise you everywhere we go. Help us to cultivate a heart of thanksgiving. Lord, not just this month, but it will be the reality of our lives. The reason, Lord, for our living, that we give praise to you. Now, Father, we make ready to leave this place, but never your divine presence. We ask for your grace, mercy. Lord, we pray for your peace and joy. Lord, in the communion of the Holy Spirit, that all will rest, rule, and abide with us and in us, both now and forever. And every heart say amen.